We all heard about Yasi cyclone in Australia. Nearly 300 kilometer winds to fall on land. Now imagine yourself sitting on a tent in Cairns on that night. No chance. Well, that's everyone who's outside of Jesus Christ. That's your picture. Everyone outside of living true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is like one who lives and covers himself in a kingdom of canvas against the power and the majesty of an almighty God. We pray that this morning also the message about a much better security and a much better place of hiding may become clear to you as the only place to run to. I draw attention this morning to Matthew 13. It's a collection chapter. Jesus didn't speak all these parables in the same stage at the same time, but Matthew has collected them together around the theme of the kingdom. And there's an order in this as well. He begins with the parable of the sower. It's obviously the beginning of the kingdom. And it's through the word of God, blessed to the heart. And Jesus corrects all kinds of unrealistic expectations about this kingdom in the next parable of the wheat and tares. It's not going to be a pure church. It's not going to be without the weeds or the tares, as he calls them. But someday he will separate them. That's not our task. Let them grow together. He shows us the progress of this kingdom by two small parables, the 11, as it goes through all the bread, and the parable of the mustard seed. It becomes a huge tree. And then Jesus comes also to the irresistible beauty of this kingdom. And that's the one I would like to pick up today. From verse 44, although 45 and 46 is somewhat related, I'd like to just focus on verse 44 this morning mostly. The kingdom of heaven, let's reread that little parable. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like unto treasure hid in a field. The which, when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he has, and buyeth that field. Now Jesus pictures here for us the glory of his kingdom in a very beautiful treasure. Some would like it in the next parable in a very beautiful pearl. Now let's together make that the focus of our thoughts. The treasure, the glory of Christ's kingdom is my theme. The glory of Christ's kingdom. It's a beautiful treasure. But secondly, and that may be the way you walked in this morning, it is a hidden treasure. And I have prayed, and we're going to pray again, that you may walk out of this place this morning, no more hiding, no more hidden treasure. And thirdly, it is an all-conquering treasure. You notice, for the man has found this treasure, for the joy of what he has seen, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field to obtain treasure. May God bless us this morning with a glimpse of this treasure. Now, what is this treasure? The glory of the treasure. What is this treasure that Jesus speaks about? Now, I have three things to suggest. You choose which one is the right one. Maybe all three are. But I'm going to start with the simplest way. This treasure is Jesus himself. Jesus Christ is God's treasure. It's a treasure chest. It's a treasure himself. The Lord Jesus is God's treasured gift to this world. You know, when God has treasures, he doesn't keep them for himself. Notice that. He shares treasures. He's keen to share the greatest treasures with you. He is sending his Son as a treasure for sinners. Not just to show to them like behind a beautiful window, look what a beautiful treasure I have. No, that's not how God is doing it. He comes right to you and saying, look, this is Jesus, my Son, whom I have brought into this world for a sinner like you. And I offer him freely to you, whoever you are. My friend, this treasure is sent to be shared. It's a treasure to be possessed. It's a treasure that God wants to comfort poor, struggling sinners with. It is a treasure to enrich. Now, who is the Lord Jesus? And what is the whole gospel around him? And I've said it before, let's revisit that statement. The gospel is not what God asks you to do for him. The gospel is what God is doing for sinners. That's the gospel. It's nothing to do with what you do and I do and I attain and I bring. No. It's all what God does. It's a marvelous message, isn't it? It's God providing himself in his Son as a sacrifice to pay the debts that none of us can pay. It is God indeed humbling himself to the lowest place on earth, no, in hell, in order to open the door and the way that sinners like you may be restored in his fellowship and into his paradise. It is God's love in sending his Son as a prophet to teach and as a priest to sacrifice and as a king to rule. But really, if I put them all together, as his Son came to serve sinful, rebellious, guilty people. That's the gospel. That's the treasure, isn't it? And God indeed allows us again this morning to bring out of this gospel the treasure of his substitute. Children, you remember this week's story I told you at school about big old Tom. That's the treasure. Not big old Tom. No. Lord Jesus Christ. That's the treasure. McChain beautifully says, he is not only a dying Savior on the cross, he also is a doing Savior in his life and at this moment. He is a dying Savior and he died on the cross. But he's also a doing Savior who is indeed at this moment standing at your door and saying, look, friend, I have a treasure here to show to you. It is all for free. It's a treasure you'll never regret possessing. And it will never be a losing if you have this treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. What treasures of love are there in God, friends? Paul writes, while we were enemies, Christ died for such ones like that. With no thought of him, with no love for him, with no desire after him, God gave his Son while his church were enemies, haters, completely antagonistic. That's God. What a treasure in his character. Think of the treasure of his readiness to pardon the sinner who returns to him. Never have to doubt. That if you return to him in the way of confession and sorrow, and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I have treasured everything in this life but thee. And if you return like that, the treasure of this character of the Lord as he reveals himself to us, ready to pardon again and again and again. And again, and he doesn't stop being ready
That is the treasure, isn't it? This God who reveals himself in this scripture is none like God in the whole of the heaven and of the earth, able and willing to save. Now, as another aspect to this treasure, maybe you can think of the treasure as the Word of God. This Word is a treasure. This Word is His testament. This Word is His testimony. And how beautiful are the promises that are in this Word of God speaking to you and me. To allure, to call us and to win us and to open our hearts. And to, as we penetrate through all what we reject Him for. Come. There's so many words in this book that people were ready to die for. Are you ready to die for some of these words in this book? People died for the confession of the truths of this book with a joy that I have never experienced. Why? Because in this book you find the words that speak to the core of your need, the core of your heart, the core of your problem. Let me just take out one or two of those words. Here's a word from Micah where God says to his church, I will cast your sins in the depth of the sea. You know, if you have in your heart an awareness of sin, you're going to see your sins always. No matter how old you become, you'll never forget your sins. Remember not the sins of my youth, David says in Psalm 25. And he's been forgiven, but he remembers now. But look what God says. I will cast the sins into the depth of the sea. And I will remove your sins as far as the west is from the east. Now to be able to have that as a treasure in your hand. Such a promise. What a treasure when God says, I am a refuge to the oppressed. And all those that hide in me and shelter in me. And that confess my name. I will save. You understand why Peter says to Jesus, Lord, I will never leave thee. Never. For thou hast the words of eternal life. I have noticed in thy words a treasure. You know, Peter discovered first in the word a treasure that he hadn't discovered in Jesus yet. Because he didn't have understanding of the Lord Jesus yet. That he was going to die on the cross for Peter. But Peter had heard words out of the mouth of Jesus that were dearer to him than anything. I will not leave thee, Lord. What precious words are in this book that make it such a treasure. Meditating on one word this week in the book of Colossians. I am, you are complete in Him. In Him. Not in yourself. Don't live by sight. Don't live by feeling. Don't live by your own experience and observations because you're going to incomplete all times, every time. But complete in Him. What a treasure. Accepted with the Father for the beloved's sake. Now that brings me to the third aspect of this treasure. You can also look at this treasure as the experience of knowing God and His Son. Now how did Jesus put that again? This is eternal life. To know my Father and me whom He has sent. Now to know God the Father and to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, is the best of life you've ever had. I can think of no greater treasure but to be able to look into the eyes of a holy God and see nothing but love. No rebuke. I can think of no greater treasure in the world but to feel in my heart by faith the rest that Jesus offers. Come unto me, all you struggling, sinking,
souls.
You cannot keep the law, and you cannot obey the law, and you cannot pay the debts. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. I'll pay it all. I'll cover all. I'll always be with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll pray for you when your faith is failing. Can you think of any greater treasure? To have such a God and such a Lord with such a peace in your heart. Now Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. But it's hidden in the field. Let's sing together first of Psalm 40, verses 1 through 4. The law that the Lord has ordained is perfect, the soul to restore. 1 through 4 of Psalm 40. Looked at this treasure in a few thoughts. The Lord Jesus, the Word, and also what God's children may experience when they come to know God and His Son. Well, that's hidden. You say, you know what? That means nothing to me. That doesn't really interest me. I don't see much treasure in that, to be honest. It doesn't warm my heart. Now, for many people, this treasure is a hidden treasure. For people in the world, but also for people in the church. I'm feeling fine. I have my pleasures. My life is full of excitement. I'm enjoying myself. I'm healthy. I have good friends. And I enjoy doing what I'm doing. I'm not missing anything. Now, friend, I don't disagree with you that you got pleasures, but you don't got treasures. That's the difference. You got pleasures, all right, And I won't argue that. There's a lot of pleasure out there, especially for our sinful hearts. Shopping carts full of it are coming into our lives all day long without us even looking for it. All kinds of pleasures to thrill our heart. But pleasures are no treasures. Pleasures are like soap bubbles. They're pretty. I love looking at them. But bang, gone. Pleasures are like salty water. It makes you more thirsty. It doesn't satisfy. So yes, you may have pleasures, but I'm challenging this morning, do you have a treasure like this? You say, I'm not seeing any pleasure in that, friends. Pastor, I don't see any beauty in Christ. Okay, why is that then? Let the Word of God answer. The reason that you do not see the treasure in Jesus and in His Word is because the God of this world is blinding your minds. See, the longer you look in the sun, the less you see. You can actually become totally blind by just looking at the sun. Well, let's spiritualize that. Idols do the same. Pleasures in the world do the same. Sin does the same. The more you look, the more you involve, the more you engorge your soul on the pleasures of this world, the more God and His beauty will be hidden because your eyes and your minds are blinded. That you believe not. What do you think Paul means with the God of this world? Now notice he didn't say the gods of this world. He says the God of this world. But he comes in all kinds of different shapes and all kinds of different appearances. So really it's an endless definition. The God of this world who presents himself in all kinds of garments of amusement, of riches, of relationships or work. But all it does, it switches off the brain. It blinds the mind. And the more you get involved in it, the more it takes hold of you. That's why the treasure that I spoke about to you this morning is hidden. Now I pity you. You have not seen the beauty that there is in God as He makes us known in Jesus. You're like a blind man who walks through the most beautiful flower garden. For that's what you are doing when you are hearing the message of the Word. And you just reject it as not interesting. You miss the real joy, friends. There is a joy in knowing God that no pen can describe. There's also a grief in the realization that you miss God that no pen can describe. And that's why Asaph says, Lord, I have none among heaven or earth beside Thee that can satisfy my heart as Thou can. Now, I'm sure that Asaph was, maybe he was married and maybe he had kids and family. He had probably lots of lovely people around him. And still he says, none of them can do to me what Thou has done to me. See? I pity you, friend. When you are only to live with your pleasures, but you are missing the life of the treasure, you're missing out so much. You have no real joy. You have no hope either. Yeah, but I'm still alive and I have hope. Yeah, that's a nice soother, pacifier of a conscience. But that's not scriptural. If you're outside Christ, you have no hope. You might keep yourself afloat on little planks and splinters of this world, but you have no hope. Without God, without Christ, without hope. Wake up. You're clinging to soap bubbles. Yes, but isn't the Lord still gracious? Yes, the Lord is still gracious. And the Lord is still seeking. And the Lord is still calling. But don't soothe your own mind with thinking I got some hope because I'm still alive. That's no hope, my friend. That's a vain wish, because you could drop dead this moment when God says, return. The only hope the Bible speaks about is we are founded and standing on the foundation of that only Savior, Jesus Christ, and are in His hands. And so therefore, this morning, the treasure, it is hidden. It's not only hidden to the people in the world, but obviously many people in church who are not seeing the beauty of this treasure. Many of you here know the facts of the kingdom. Many of you love to come to church. I can't say all, but I say many. Many of you believe in God. Many of you have a certain respect for Jesus Christ. Many of you are making choices based on what you know and believe. But do you have the treasure, the relationship with the Lord? You may be in the right field, but you haven't found the treasure yet. You are in the right field when you are in the Word and when you come to church and seek the, but you haven't found the treasure. You may be still floating on your own self-righteousness. You may be still thinking, yeah, but I am not quite as bad. You're not going to say that, of course. No way. But I'm not quite as bad as the other people are. Dear friends, linger not to seek this real treasure. Be a miner. So how do I find this treasure? And where do I find this treasure? Well, you find it in the Word. And how do you find it? God Himself gives us the directions in Proverbs chapter 2. Be a miner. If you incline your heart and apply your heart unto understanding and cry after knowledge and lift up your voice and seek her as silver and searches for her as for hid treasures, then you shall understand. Now be convinced in this Word is gold, treasures far bigger than what anything else you can gather in this world. Be convinced of that. Let me convince you this morning. There is nothing but to be found in Christ and not having my own righteousness, which I have not anyway. And to know that my righteousness is supplied in that only Savior. And that He is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me when I fail and stumble and all these things. There is no greater treasure but to know you are in Christ. It's a hidden treasure. But if you seek for her as for these hidden treasures, mining it out of the Word, with prayer, with searching, with meditation, with reading, God says, you shall find it. It is within your reach, congregation. Listen to what Jesus says. The kingdom of heaven is in China. That's a long way. You might never get there. It is in the South Island. Well, that's close. No, it is here at hand. When I preach the Word to you, the kingdom is here at this moment. Now notice what happens in this parable. The man who finds this parable, he hides it again. And for joy, he goes and sells all that he has to obtain that field and have that treasure. And you know, in the other parable, there's the one who spots that pearl. In both parables, really, once they spotted the treasure or the pearl, they do the same thing. They do everything to get that treasure. Perhaps Jesus is probably contrasting in both of the parables, and that's all I want to say about it this morning. The different ways in which the Holy Spirit leads people to the treasure. The man in the field wasn't really looking. Samaritan woman. Go make, get some water out of the well at 12 o'clock of the day. She wasn't looking for the treasure. But she found him. All of a sudden. Levi is counting money. He's looking at this queue of people in front of the table. And all of a sudden there stands a man before him who says, follow me. See, that's the treasure hidden in the field you suddenly find. But a Lydia or a Cornelius, you might compare him to the one who has pearls, but he's not satisfied. He needs that one pearl. So it may be that Jesus does illustrate in these two the various ways in which people are led to the treasure. But the point of comparison is the same. That for joy they go and sell all that he has and buy the field. What a joy when God opens your eyes for the treasures in Christ. Well, he doesn't usually show, well, let me put it this way. For many people in this world, Jesus is a beautiful model, worthy to be imitated. You know, Jesus, the love, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-denial, wonderful graces. And to many, that's what Jesus is, just a beautiful model. But he's far more. He is indeed an example of how we should be. But when God opens your eyes, you see in him something that you need as a guilty, as an unholy, as an hell-worthy sinner. It always goes together, right? Christ and a poor sinner. Maybe you sit here this morning and God has been opening a few drawers in your life you've been trying to keep shut. I don't want to go there, but he's keep pulling them open, right? All these issues of your sinful life standing in front of you. Maybe you've been here brought this morning with a very burdened heart. Maybe you're struggling under the sense of God separated from you because of your sin. And maybe you've been looking, searching all over the place for a cure for a long time. Maybe you've tried Dr. Self-Improvement. Maybe you have tried Dr. Good Intentions. Maybe you've tried Dr. Be More Humble. But all of those places you have not found relief, right? And what a joy when God begins to open your eyes that outside of you lies your cure. Not in what you do, not in what you be, not of what you think, not of what you sacrifice. All of that can never make it well between God and you. Is the Lord opening your eyes for that? That outside of you is provided in the Lord Jesus the righteousness you need for your soul. See, that's what he pictures here. That this man, he sees the treasure. Outside of himself, there is hope, friends, not in you. And what a joy when you discover it is possible for me, because he says, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Maybe you heard it. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Even me. It is possible for you. And there are no doubts also such who are having seen that. But look what happened in the parable. Kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man has found, he hideth. Now why is this man who found a treasure hiding it? Now remember, this is a parable. We're not here talking about ethical teaching. This sounds like a little fishy. That if he knows that there's a treasure in the field and he hides it and he goes and do the transaction and buys the field and says, now the treasure is mine. Is Jesus trying to be unethical here? No, he's only using an illustration. An illustration of something. And what does he illustrate? It's not a bad or evil action, but a common spiritual reaction upon discovering the treasure hidden in the field. Oh, there's a soul who discovers a treasure in Jesus. And what's the next question? Yes, I've seen in him lies my hope, but is he for me? Is he for me?
Yes, I know He is the only one that can save me. Yes, I see that in Him is righteousness I don't have. And yes, I see that His blood alone can atone of my high guilt and sin. But is He for me? Is He for me? See, that's the struggle so often is experience. And here maybe Jesus is picturing that in this. May I own Him as mine? And is that what He did on the cross for me? And is it what He's doing in heaven for me? And how often is it not that in the kingdom, one acts like this man? Having seen something of the glory and of the beauty and of the hope that God offers in the Lord Jesus, we hide it. We hide it. We don't share it because we still struggle with this big question. Is it for me? And notice what this man does in the parable. He's going to sell everything he has to buy it. What does Jesus picture? He doesn't picture with that we have to buy salvation, do we? No. No, that not. There will be not gold enough in the world to buy the salvation that you need. But what does he picture is this. And that's exactly how it goes in everyone who's seen the treasure. It has an all-conquering power. Nothing that is dear to you that will stand between Jesus and you will stay. That's what he pictures. This man is going to sell everything he has, and no doubt there are dear things in his life that he has enjoyed and he has worked hard for and he has obtained it as an inheritance and whatever it is, but he's going to sell it all because he wants a treasure. And this is not so spiritually, friends. And you've seen something of the beauty of Jesus and of the treasures that are contained in his gospel. There will not be a single sin standing that you see. They all go. Nothing will be spared that will hinder me in obtaining him. I see in my mind this poor struggling woman 12 years already. No one touched her. She has been separated from most of her family with her unclean issue of blood. But she heard of the treasure. She heard of the treasure. And she will let everything go. She will let her reputation go. She let her honor go. She will let everything go because she got to touch the hem of his garment. And so she take the risk. See? For the joy that she has, she gets going to seek that treasure. I see Levi sitting behind all his stacks of money. Follow me. He's heard the power. He's felt the love. He's seen those eyes of Jesus. Not hatred, not disdain. Follow me. And it all goes. All his treasures and all his pleasures to follow Jesus. See, that's what Jesus pictures here in this parable. If you've seen the treasure, friends, the woman in Samaria well is willing to go and tell everyone that she meet, come and tell a man who told me all things I did wrong. That is the Messiah. Saul is willing to count all his previous righteousness as dung, and he is willing to sacrifice his life. You know, the point is this. For love to him, and for the desire to be his, everything goes. Sometimes you have that in life, that a young man loses the heart to a girl. He's willing to sacrifice everything in order to have her. His family, whatever. They elope and they get married. That's what human love does. But that spiritual love acts similar. That once I've seen Christ, seen something of that beautiful glory that is in him, nothing will be spared in order to obtain him. Every thought, every friendship, every pleasure of before, every relationship that will be precious, Now we may not have to do that, what Jesus says in Luke 14, verse 26. But let us remember these Christians all over the world who have to do this. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, does not prefer me above father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, his own life, cannot be my disciple. And we read of those people who see the treasure in the name of Jesus and in his love. And they're willing. They're willing to be sacrificed. Now, if the treasure has never had a power like that in your life, that you're willing to let everything go that is dear in your life, everything that is pleasure in your life, everything that is sinful in your life. And my friend, get on your knees today and ask, Lord, show me the treasure. Take that prayer along. Show me thy glory. Wean me away, O God, from all the things that now so capture my mind, my thoughts, my focus. And only thou can do that. Be convinced this morning, congregation, that only one can conquer your soul. And isn't that also a gospel? I don't have to conquer my soul. I don't have to subdue my soul. I don't have to save my soul. I don't have to cure my soul. That's not a treasure. Come unto me, and I will give thee rest. Lay it in my hand. Lay it at my feet. Bring your heart. Bring your sins. Bring your unbelief. Bring your blinded eye. Bring your foolish mind. Bring it to me. Will you this morning go there? If this treasure does not interest you and doesn't touch you and it doesn't feel to you as a treasure, yes, you miss out. You miss out. And be convinced, friend, that you cannot die with any type of pleasure if Jesus is not your treasure. And die you must. I've seen people die. And for some of them, I'd be terrified to share you what I saw. But others, I will not be shy to tell you what I saw. With joy in their faces. Looking. Waiting. Dying with pleasure. Why? How can that be? Because in their life, Jesus Christ, his righteousness as prophet, priest and king, their treasure. We're all coming to the end. And we cannot die with pleasure if Jesus is not your treasure, but you cannot live with pleasure either if Jesus is not your treasure. Oh, young friends, unconverted friends, your life is so utterly empty. When you hop from one pleasure to the next pleasure to the next pleasure, you get the thrill, you get the joy, you get whatever. But your life is so empty. You have not lived with pleasure for a day. Real pleasure. The pleasure that is in knowing the Lord and knowing His righteousness and feeling His love and tasting His grace. Oh, be convinced this morning that even if you gain the whole world, nothing can satisfy. There's no satisfaction in hard work because you know it's not going to be for somebody else at the end. There's no real satisfaction in studying. Because none of that will save your soul. There is no real joy and satisfaction in any kind of emotional or physical pleasures. Because they don't last. There is no real joy in the circle of friends. There's not even joy in a quiet nature walk and enjoying the beauty of nature. If Jesus is not your treasure. For when Jesus is your treasure, you will look at this beautiful surrounding dying remnants of a once beautiful paradise. And you would walk in those woods and say, Lord, one day I will walk in a place even far more beautiful than this. And thou wilt make the heaven new again. See, then your nature walk is altogether different. I tell you again, you haven't lived any pleasure if you haven't found the kingdom treasure. Go on your knees today. Plead with this King of the Kingdom, Lord. All what Satan does is parade his beautiful treasures before my eyes, and I am blinded, I am totally numb to anything that is greater. Lord, thou outcompete him. Show me the treasure in the Lord, in thy word. And if you have seen that treasure, congregation, you must agree with the bride when she says, he is altogether lovely. How lovely is his love. How faithful. How pure. How devoted. How real. How giving. There's one thing that perhaps you would want to sell today, which you can't sell. And that's your sinful heart. Well, that hinders, doesn't it? That hinders in all this life of the kingdom more than anything else. Not others, but yourself. Your own heart, your own sin. And I know the living church longs to get rid of that. If they could sell it today, they'll do it today. But be comforted. He will one day take it away. And then one more last thought. Jesus says, where your treasure is, when you finish the text, kids, where your treasure is, there's your heart also. Now, who is Jesus' treasure? There are those who treasure him above anything else. That's Jesus' treasure. Now, that's where his heart is also. Amen. Let us worship God. Lord God, thou knowest the temptations which hold the unsaved in the power of blindness, blinded by the God of this world through a variety of ways for the glory of thee as it shines in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we plead this morning that thou thyself would open the eyes, that thou wilt give that sinners may see the treasure and may learn to see the glory of God. And, O Lord, thou knowest also those in our midst who have seen something of it and yet stand afar off, fearful to think, unable to believe that it is such for them as they see so much testifying against them. Lord, thou wilt finish perfectly what thy hand has begun. And so bless thou even such who now may hide what they have seen with the grace to embrace what they have seen and rest their soul on thy gracious King, priest, and prophet. We ask thee all this in Jesus' name. Amen.